Scripture passage today is from James 1, 2 to 18, and I would like you to help me read it this morning. So, I will read verses 2 and 3, and then we'll just kind of alternate after that. You 4, me 5, etc. Okay? So, James 1, 2 to 18. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness.
And let the steadfastness have its full effect, that ye may be perfect and
if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him.
But let that man ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, that is driven and tossed by the wind.
For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Let the lady brother boast in his
for the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one.
But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire.
Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death.
Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change.
Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of the truth.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Steve, blessings as you bring the sermon.
So this Sunday before Advent, last Sunday before Advent, we're going to finish up our series on the Lord's Prayer. And we've been following the shorter version of that as Luke writes it in Luke chapter 11. So, Father, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. So that final phrase is our focus for today. Lead us not into temptation. When I pray the Lord's Prayer and use it kind of as a framework for prayer, I find myself often losing steam by the time I get to lead us not into temptation. Like I come out of the gates firing with lots of praise. Praise you, Father. You're God who gives good gifts. Your name is holy, your creator. And praying specifically for ways that I hope his kingdom will be established, healing and bringing love and justice and all these, and my daily needs today be enough for me. And I just find towards the end I can not be quite as powerful. Or I've been trying to pray this as I'm driving, and sometimes I'll be driving and think, I remember starting the Lord's Prayer, and somewhere along the way, I've been totally distracted. So I would say my least developed Lord's Prayer muscles are in lead us not into temptation. Not that I might not pray that in other ways, but when this isn't a part of our prayer life, when it's not the attitude of our heart, spiritually it can leave us unguarded or unprepared or vulnerable. It's a reminder of us towards alertness in life, that we don't get complacent spiritually as we walk through life. I remember back probably in my college days, I watched a show called Hill Street Blues. It was a police show. And every episode they would have a scene where they're gathered at the beginning of their shift and the sergeant's telling them, you know, things that are going on. But he always would end his little talk by saying, hey, be careful out there. You know, like, be alert, be your best self, be prepared for what might come along. And I think this prayer does that. That's the attitude of our hearts when we're praying. God, I know there's going to be trials and temptations in life. And Jesus even said, in this world, you will have troubles. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So that kind of faith, we're trusting that statement when we pray, Lord, lead us not into times of trial or times of temptation. And I just want to highlight that word, lead us not into temptation. That word there has, it can mean trials or it can mean temptations depending on the context. And I want to look at both and say that this prayer is saying, Lord, lead us not into times of trials or times of temptation. And just to describe that, the difference a little bit, you know, a test is more on the positive side. It's a circumstance of life that comes up and it's a test of our faithfulness, of our trust in the Lord. As opposed to a temptation is more on the negative sense where it's those things that would entice us towards sin or entice us away from God. I like how John Piper talks about one way we can distinguish this is when things are going really well in life, there can be trials and temptations. The trial would be, or the test would be, will we be grateful to God in the midst of His blessings? And what will we do? Will we be good stewards of these blessings? The temptation is to indulge, to be prideful, to, as Jesus says, build bigger barns and accumulate more, and it's all about ourselves. So a test, a temptation in the midst of when things are good. In times of struggle, the test is, will we continue to trust? Will we cling to faith and believe that God will see us through and that we will shine for Him in the midst of this test? The temptation is to curse God in the midst of that. And really, that's the story of Job. In the midst of all of these losses he was experiencing, the test of his faith was, will he continue to believe that God is there, that he can trust in, or will he just curse God and die? You know? And so in life, we have both times of testing and times of trial, temptations. One way to think about this prayer is that we're being protective, or we're asking God to be protective of our holy walk, of our walk with the Lord. Paul writes to the Corinthians, don't you realize that you all are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. You know, we want to protect and maintain the fact that we are a holy vessel of God, both individually and as a church as well. And Jesus says, follow me, walk in my footsteps. So the latter part of this prayer really is a desire in our prayers that the health of our spiritual life would be strong, that we would walk faithfully with the Lord. So in the previous statement, it's looking back. And it's saying, there's things in my life that need to be forgiven or to be cleansed. God, would you forgive me and would you restore a right relationship between me and you or between me and others? There's something that needs to be cleaned up there and restored. And then this particular phrase is now looking forward. It's being more proactive and it's saying, Lord, please shield me or strengthen me during those times that my faithfulness could be compromised. Like, I want to be ready for that. I need your strength in the midst of those times, whether it's good times or bad times, as we saw previously. It's an awareness that we live in the midst of a spiritual battle, that our soul is in spiritual danger as we walk in this world. So Matthew, as he quotes Jesus's prayer, he also includes, deliver us from the evil one. And scripture often talks about the schemes of the devil to corrupt or to lead us off course. And that was always Satan's role in Jesus's story, to lead him off of the mission and the faithfulness that he was all about. So we might think, you know, and our desire might be just to create this safe space in our life that, that evil, the evils of this world can't touch us, you know, and that we're safe from that. But yet Jesus calls us to be engaged in this world, not just to create safe spaces, where we avoid anything that's evil. But that as we are engaged in this world, we're going to face trials and we're going to face temptations. So Jesus, before he was crucified, he had that prayer for his disciples. And we read about it in John 17. But Jesus' prayer is, and think about this in terms of lead us not into temptation. While I was with them, I protected them and I kept them safe. You know, he lived out that, Lord, please keep us from temptations. Protect us from trials. No one has been lost except the one doomed to destruction. Now my prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them or make them holy by your truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And if we're going to be sent into the world, we need that protection in the trials that we're going to face and the temptations that we face. So I think this statement in part is, if it's your will, Lord, shield me from facing the sufferings and the trials of this world and the temptations that might come my way. But also I know that they're there. And when they come, please give me the strength that I need. And so we're admitting our weakness and our vulnerability as we pray this prayer. Dallas Willard says, the Lord's Prayer begins with this glorification of God. Really looking at God in a high note. But it ends with the feebleness of human beings. He describes this prayer as a vote of no confidence in ourselves. And that's what we sang really. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you every hour. I need you. You're my one defense. You're my righteousness. Like, I need to rely on you and your strength as I face trials and temptations. And it's also a prayer that can dissolve our overconfidence. When we feel like I can handle this. I can handle any trial that comes my way. I can face any temptation. By my own strength, I'm good. You know, and no sense of vulnerability spiritually that way. Paul writes if to the Corinthians again, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You know, have that sense of trust and vulnerability that God will be your strength. So as we pray this, Lord, lead me not into a time of trial or temptation. Our prayer is like, Lord, I'd just rather avoid any kind of suffering or temptation that comes my way. But yet I realize no one's exempt from that, you know. And I think I thought about this week. I often, when I'm praying for our adult children, where I feel like I no longer have any ability to protect them, you know, in whatever way I thought I could when they were growing up. I find my prayers are like, I don't want anything bad to happen to my kids. But yet as they come along, Lord, please give them the strength, the resiliency that they need, the faith that they need to make it through that time. I quoted Paul speaking to the Corinthians, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. But he goes on to say the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. We all face trials. And God's faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted or your temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And so there's two ways that God strengthens us. He strengthens us to resist temptation, and he strengthens us to enable us to withstand the trials and struggles that come our way. First, the strength to resist temptation. And I think about Samson. Like, Samson was so strong, yet he fell hard because temptation just took him down. You know, he didn't have the ability to look to the Lord in those times. And remember what James wrote. We just read it off the screen. When tempted, no one should say, God's tempting me. For God can't be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Just outside of God's nature to tempt us towards doing what is evil. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when it's fully grown, it gives birth to death. You can feel a progression there. Like, I really want to avoid that. God, give me the strength to face temptations and to overcome them. And there's a lot of images probably in scripture for this, but I just want to quick highlight two. When Paul writes to Timothy, he talks about false teachers whose their conscience has been seared like with a hot iron. So if you could think of their conscience or their spirit within them, it's been seared, or it's there's a callus or a burn scar on their conscience, and so they're losing more and more sensitivity to sin, or they're more easy prey to temptation, because they've lost that spiritual sensitivity. Or in, when Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, some of the seed falls amongst all the weeds and the thistle, and it just gets choked out, you know. So these images of, falling for temptation and being weaker and weaker to be able to withstand, where this prayer is this constant reminder, Lord, as I face temptations, as they come my way, I trust in your giving me the sensitivity and the strength that I need to overcome them, so that it doesn't progress more and more farther away from you, God, and towards spiritual death. And so again, in the midst of temptations, on the one hand, we want to pray, Lord, just, If it be your will, keep us even from the opportunities to be tempted. Like people in addiction will avoid people, places, and things. Those people and those places and those things that'll draw them back to their addiction. Here, in a sense, we're saying, God, if you could even just shield me from those places that entice and tempt me. But when I find myself in that place, Lord, would you give me that sensitive conscience? Will you give me that alertness and the strength to overcome and to say no, to flee from evil? And then the other way that we ask for strength is to keep us strong in the face of trials. Again, Lord, I really don't want to suffer. I don't want to face difficulties. I know there's times when God does protect us. You know, when we go on long trips, when there's youth group mission projects, or when people are traveling at church, we pray, Lord, would you please keep them safe on the roads? Like, we desire that we wouldn't face that, or when there's a potentially difficult, physical prognosis. Health prognosis, you know, Lord, please shield us from that. But yet they come. Jesus says, Lord, I'd really, if you could take this cup from me, if I didn't have to go to the cross, that'd be great. But may your will be done. I want to be faithful to this mission. I believe you'll give me the strength I need to face this. The age-old question about suffering is, does God bring trials into our life to strengthen us, or does God just use the trials that naturally come in a fallen world to strengthen us? And And my answer would be yes. Like, I believe both those things are true, but I can't diagnose, is this trial given to me by God purposely because he knows I need strength in that area, or is this something that just happens in this broken world? I don't know that. I don't know that we can ever fully diagnose that, but yet we can trust that his strength is sufficient in all of that. All of us have experienced pain, like literal physical pain. And, I don't know if you've ever used the pain scale, 0, no pain. 10 is like, call the ambulance. This hurts so bad. And sometimes when I'm seeing patients, a doctor will prescribe, if your pain is 0 to 5, take Tylenol. And if your pain is 6 to 10, take oxycodone or some kind of opioid, like something stronger. And it's like Tylenol will match this pain. But if your pain's here, you need something stronger to match that. That's kind of how I think too about the trials that we face, that no, whether it's a minimum or a moderate or a severe trial, God's strength is sufficient. I think that's his promise from scripture. We have a friend who's going through, we read on Caring Bridge, he's going through treatment for, what's the cancer? Pancreatic cancer. And going through a number 9 or 10 trial. But just reading his testimony on Caring Bridge, like he gives testimony that God has been faithful. God's grace is more than sufficient. And he can even see joy in the midst of this suffering. You know, Paul says, I've been tormented by this thorn in the flesh, whatever it is that he's been dealing with. I've been asking, Lord, please take it away. But the Lord's answer is, my grace is sufficient for you. Power is made perfect in weakness. And so most gladly, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so the power of Christ may dwell in me. I'm content with my weaknesses, with insults, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm strong with his strength. That's what we're asking for when we pray this prayer. And then just to add to this, we're not just praying, Lord, I just want to survive this test. But there's also that sense that, and Paul writes to the Romans, we glory in our sufferings because we know that these sufferings or these trials, when we face them with faith, it produces perseverance. And this perseverance leads to character. And this character leads to hope. And so God's at work in the midst of those trials to build our faith. So as we draw this to a close, just again, this thinking, Lord, lead us not into times of trial or temptation. Lord, that's our prayer, that as much as you can, you bless us. And if you'd read Psalm 34, like Shelby did, you get the sense from David in his worship that nothing bad has ever happened to him. He's full of worship for God's goodness. But we know that there's going to be times of trial and times of temptation. So Lord, in the midst of those times, would your strength be more than sufficient for us? So let's pray together. Abba, Father, you are a good, good Father. You are our God and our Savior. And just pray that you would enable this prayer within us. May it flow forth from us like this real desire proactively that you would keep us on your holy path, a path of faithfulness, a path that gives glory to you. And along the way, we know that trials will come that will make us vulnerable. We know that temptations will come that want to lead us away from you. But Lord, may your strength, may your wisdom, may your resilience for us be more than sufficient so that on the last day we can stand, and each day along the way that we can stand firm with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.